see all the usual smiling faces. We'll let Bob do the announcements. I've got so many notes here, I'll never get through them all. I've got about 18 pages. But anyway, we'll get started here in a minute. Come on, Bob.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. If you've got a bulletin, just take a quick look at it. We won't cover everything, but you can pretty much read everything that's there. The big announcement is for next Sunday night, the Bontrager family will be here. And they'll be singing for us and everything. You won't want to miss that. And then also, as we go through, we're getting into the month of February, believe it or not, already. And the Lord's Supper we'll be having on February 19th. Somebody had gotten confused and asked me some questions about that this morning. So that'll be on February 19th. And we've got a lot going on at the Oasis. Cancer ministry meeting after the evening service on February 12th. And just kind of keep that. And if you're involved in the quilting circle and everything, just keep that in mind, if you would. And tonight we're supposed to have missionary Mike Webster with us from France. So kind of keep that in mind, if you would, and everything. If you need to let me have a prayer request, if you've got one of the sheets, it's got my phone number, and it also has my email address. Easiest way is send it to me in an email, and then I will make sure it gets on the list, okay? Depending on what time of the week it is, it'll be dependent on whether it's on the current or it'll be in next week's, okay? All right. So that being said, do we have any prayer requests on this side? My left. Okay. How about here in the middle? All right. How about on the right over here? Do we have anybody over here? Okay. I want to give Steve plenty of time to teach this morning. Be praying for the primary and junior church and the whole Sunday school upstairs. Everything's working out pretty good so far since it's been remodeled. But be praying that everything will get finished up there. We've got quite a bit of work to do up there yet. Or I should say they do, whoever's doing all the work and everything. They're doing a great job. If you haven't been up there, you need to go up there and take a look. It's a whole different world up there. And it's really good. It's really done a great job. Okay, but be praying for all the teachers. Be praying for something else before we go to the Lord in prayer. Pray for workers. I have never, in the 50 years that I've been in the ministry, either working with kids or adults or bus or whatever, I have never seen a time where it's been so hard to get people to get up and do something. They want to come to church, that's great, but they don't want to get involved. They don't want to disrupt their schedules. They don't want to change. And I'm not trying to say anything bad about anybody. I just say, pray about it. But if you think about it, it goes along with what the Bible has to say. You know, in the last days, there's going to be a falling away. And I see it. So be praying about that. Because we need workers bad upstairs. So be praying about that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every one that's here this morning. I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for what you've done for us. Without Calvary, wouldn't be any reason to be here. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Brother Steve. I just pray that you'd speak through his heart this morning and just give us what we need. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you touch every heart that's here. Speak to hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, there's a lot of people that maybe not in this class, but in other classes or visitors coming in, they need to feel like they're a part of this church and there's places they could work. But dear Heavenly Father, help them to find that place so they can get involved. I just ask now, Father, that you'd have your will. I pray that you'd be at the second hour, be with Brother Herdman as he preaches. Touch that heart that's closest to hell. For we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Bob. such a true thing. We need workers, and it's not just locally, it's worldwide. We see this falling away. Levi and the folks in England are so in need of workers. They've got churches being offered. Now it's starting to go into Europe and Africa and Scotland and just Wales and everywhere. People were calling saying, we've got a church, please send somebody. So we need to pray that God will fill those positions here, there, throughout the world, because the world, time is fleeting, folks, and we need to make every minute count, because we live in a world that our lives and time, and God says it's a vapor, and it's so true on many, many aspects of life. So I wanted to get back into the ages and dispensation, ages being time, how God dealt with mankind in biblical history. We have the opportunity to study that. Of course, we've heard that from Preacher Lassley years ago as he taught through the dispensational truth of Clarence Larkin. And I like using his stuff and others. And I want to, as we start talking about the different dispensations, I'm not going to just say number one, number two, three, four, five, six, and seven, or eight, or whatever. I'm going to get down into each one of those probably by the week and talk about what happened during that time and what did God do and why did God do it that way. And we look back at Genesis and the creation of all things and man, and then sin entered into the world. And because of that sin entering into the world, mankind changed forever. We have that sin nature, and we know that. And we know that God understood all that from the foundations of the world. And He set in motion from the foundations of the world the cross. And that at the foot of the cross, all ground is level for all mankind. So what I'm trying to do is, some people, when we start talking about dispensations, there's factions or people or churches or groups or men, good people. Some think there's eight dispensations. Some even bust it down farther than that. And I believe fundamentally, here in our church, I think we can settle on seven. And some people can go back to six, put a couple things together. But I think seven, I like the number seven because it's the perfect number. And I think the scriptures are clear on that. But there's some scriptures that if we let our personal interpretations and our personal educations, we can change what we think. See, we're going back to us human beings, what we think happened in the creation of the universe. And I just want to get this done, if I can, today before we start into the dispensations. In thinking, I want to give you an idea of what these people think about the creation of the world and why and how can they think that. When you have a verse, I was talking to a guy yesterday, in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning God created. Now we can put a big comma right there, quotations around all that. God created the heaven and the earth. I can stop right there myself. I can say, I believe that. That's where it's at. And I don't want to talk about it any further. But in today's world, we're running around with a generation that's been educated in these liberal colleges that push the evolutionary, environmental, liberal thinking. And these kids have been indoctrinated into that stuff, the world. And I run into them all the time with young engineers and people that are involved in the mining. And I was talking to a guy on the phone 2 days ago. He and I were emailing some data back and forth. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm sitting here doing my Sunday school lesson." And he texts back and he said, "Well, what are you doing it on?" And I said, "Well, ages and dispensations of the Bible, dispensationalism." And he texts back and he said, "I've never heard of anybody teaching that ever in church." You see, the world is not taught these things. We're just blessed right here to be under a church that we all have been affected by Preacher Lashley's preaching over the last 40-some, 50 years. And now we have a new pastor that is like-minded in all that. You know, a lot of this stuff, I don't just say it right off the cuff. I call the pastor and talk to him about it and make sure that it's right on the money with him. But he and I both, all we have to do is look at God's Word, and if it says that, it is. Now, the generation that we're dealing with and it's called cosmogony, is cosmos. Mogony means the beginning of the universe. So people can get that confused with cosmological is the study of the universe as it is. So there's folks that want to take that as it is and take that back to eternity past and start thinking in a most evolutionary cosmologist accept the modern and assume that mass, time, cosmos, all the stuff, Einstein's relativity, all this scientific stuff, it's self-existence. It just the Big Bang. It just was there. They do not want to give God the credit for creation. And they think they can take science and prove that. In the recent history, we know we have Hubble telescope, and now we've got another telescope that even sees farther. And many, many scientists are coming to the realization that this just didn't happen. There had to be a spark of creation to bring all this together in a perfect motion. But then however this bizarre modern notion with advanced mathematics and astrophysics that the universe evolved out of nothing? I mean, how can we use human methods to try to prove that there is no God that created all this in the beginning? But that's what they're doing. Our kids have been taught that stuff, and basically we just got to get grounded in that God created thing in the beginning. The fundamental fact of, and it's irrevocably true. You can't change it. The true belief that we can fight this evolutionary thinking is the pre-existence of God. Do you really believe that God is eternally forever past and ever future? He is. The Word tells us He is. I've got some verses here I'll read. But these people want to take mathematics and take the cosmos as it is and the movement of it and the mathematical, and you know, they can launch a rocket off of this spot right here and hit the moon 2 weeks later. And the mathematics and all that, you don't have enough. If you had to handwrite it, you couldn't put it on that wall right there. It's man's knowledge that God has given it. You know, and you look back at Einstein's and all what he thought. He was a Jewish man, had the knowledge. The Jews have knowledge beyond a lot of us don't understand. But anyway, they use these things of this world to try to prove what they think. And I was talking to the ladies about, well, who are they? Who is they? Well, they may think this or they may think that. What's the truth? What's the truth? Now, our preachers preached on the truth. And I don't think any of us had the problem believing that God's word's the truth. This book is the truth. And I can stack up textbooks and mathematics books and read Einstein's stuff. And it's exciting to read some of that stuff. Don't understand half of it. The fact is that satellites and space shots and all that stuff wouldn't even work if they hadn't used some of Einstein's stuff. And they take those mathematical equations and try to prove that God didn't create the universe. Now, is that not crazy? I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem believing that. Now, how do we tell our colleagues and our children? And I know we're not all studied up on that, and we all can't be. Thus, the first verse in the Bible is the most profound, yet so simple to understand. God didn't want us to understand all that, or he'd have told us. Starting in verse 3, he tells us how he created the world and this world that we live on. When he created the heavens and the earth, it all came into being at that instant. All the mathematics and all the other stuff that proves that everything's working correctly, do we not think that God can think it all into existence and not have to evolve for zillion years from nothing? I don't get that. So from this thinking, you come to a thing that they call chaos earth, pre-existent earth, before Adam and Eve. Before the creation of the earth that we have now, they want to take some of this thinking and back it into time and try to say, well, I believe this verse says that God created the earth that we have. And some fundamental facts, even they even say that in the beginning, God created, but they want to change it around in the beginning of God's, they put an S on the end of that, in the beginning of God's creating the heaven and the earth without form and void. Though the universe already existed, is what they're trying to prove through the language. I mean, they just go on and on, these people do. I went to a debate one time at a college with Henry Morris was there. And it was the most amazing thing. And that got me started on this many, many years ago. That guy just eat these college professors. It was just almost, you could just about laugh and roll on the floor how he put them in their place with the word. And they'd say this and that and all this. And he'd say, well, let's look at this verse right here. What do you think? He eat them. I mean, if you ever get to go to a chance to one of those debates, it's awesome. But anyway, so they use all this stuff and mathematics and thinking and high thinking and high education and all that to minimize that God created everything, space, time, mass, the earth, the heavens, as we see it right now. He spoke that into existence. It had to be that way because you just, you can think about one aspect that people in the past think about and they still don't understand gravity. Think about it. We've just about proved everything. How does gravity work? Well, we got simply some calculations and can understand that. Mathematically, we can make rockets fly through space and the gravity from the sun, the gravity from this planet and that planet, and you know, you can bend that curve and calculate that mathematically. It's there, but what caused it to be there? Now, come on. It's God. It's God. So we can get into that. And if you have somebody that you want me to talk to, I'll be glad to get my books and I'll walk in with my briefcase plumb full of stuff. And we'll sit down and have a friendly discussion. But if you look at God's Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God in John 1:1. You know, how do you talk that away? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1:1, and God existed externally from the universe. We have the universe as it is right now on this earth. We're so small-minded. But God exists outside of that, folks. He is eternal. He is forever and ever both directions. In any way you want to talk. Any way you want to talk, think about it. And I know that's hard to think. And you've got to think in four dimensions and five dimensions and all the dimensions you can come up with. Because every direction you look, it's God. But mankind wants to frame that down into a little package and justify that, oh, we understand this. You can say that, but really it took a million years for us to crawl out of some soup as a worm and stand like we are today. I mean, goodness, come on. All things by Him, without Him, nothing without Him, not anything made that was made. John 1:3 says, Thou hast made the heaven, the heavens of heavens, with all the host, Thou preserveth them all. Nehemiah 9:6 says, And He built His sanctuary like high places, like the earth, which He hath established forever. Psalm 78:69 says, Who hath laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever? Folks, well, this earth was created. It's standing now. It's going to go through some changes, just like it did during the flood. Christ is coming back. 1,000-year reign is on this earth. At the end of that, have a war with the Satan and things are burned up. Instead of flooding, it's burned up, but it doesn't burn up the earth because God creates the earth anew and the heavens around it, which is the atmosphere, not the heaven, not the heaven of where God sits, and not the starry heaven. We're talking about this earth. What the Scripture says, basically, and we can go on and on, this earth was created by God and all the supporting factors of it, time, mass, everything put together at one time for His glory, His sanctuary, to put His beloved mankind on. Now, it's hard to fathom. You start asking, well, why? Does God even love us? You think about that. He put Adam and Eve there, and they messed up. And then he had to kill his own son to save us. That's what you call agape love. The love that we don't understand. The love of God beyond understanding. Because of that love, it is from the beginning. Praise Him, ye sun, moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. He hath also established Him forever and ever. He hath made His decree, which shall not pass. That's in Psalms 148. One generation shall pass away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. And God doeth it that man should fear. God doeth it that man should fear. You can't change it. You're not going to change it. And these crazy, out of this thinking, we have these environmentalists thinking they can fix the world with solar panels and wind and all this stuff. God made the world for us to subdue and use the resources that it has. People that don't know energy and don't understand the processes of oil and gas and coal and all the carbon fuels that we have. And I honestly believe that oil is renewing itself. We have some vast oil resources that's never been tapped, and the government won't let us even talk about them. They want to control us with those things. I'm getting off on politics now. So God put all this in the earth for us. Like I told you last week, the great flood changed a lot of things, the biomass and all that. And one of the proofs that recently that we all can think about, Pastor mentioned it too the other day in a sermon, was Mount St. Helens. And everybody thinks, well, you know, that coal there, you know, it's, it took millions of years for it to form. And I told you I had pictures of trees growing up out of it. Here's another proof. That lake that was there by that man's house was destroyed. All the forest, the house, everything was destroyed in that area. And it all got shoved down into that lake. And it's at the bottom of that lake, fairly deep lake. Well, they, some years after all that event, when things cooled down enough where they could deal with things, the government went and drilled drill holes down into that lake to see what was down there, what was going on. Well, guess what? They had a piece of coal about that thick. Well, how in the world did that happen in 20 years? So there you go. It's not millions. God's got this. He's the best biologic, geologic scientist, understander of all things. And I'm going to trust Him, not some mathematicians in some university. So saying all this, let's read a few verses. Maybe all of them I wanted to read. I know that whatsoever God doeth, He shall do. Okay, let's read that one. 16. I think I'll stop on that. Whatsoever, let's see. I know that whatsoever God doeth, He shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be added. Nothing nor anything taken from it. Did I read that a while ago? I think I did. And God doeth it, and man should fear. Yes, I did read that. So the fear is not be afraid. The fear is honor God in all this and say, God, I believe. And there's so much more that we could dig into and get deep. But last week I dealt with some verses where Peter was dealing with some of the same issues back in his generation. People were starting to think. Now, if you look back at mankind, we'll dig into this, after Adam and Eve started having children, and they didn't start having children until sin came into the world, then their sons, and one got killed, and one went off. And that started mankind populating the world at that time. And from that, because we know it happened fairly quickly, the knowledge of man multiplied, and you had the Tower of Babel, and you have the Great Pyramids, and you know, you have all the understanding of mankind developed fairly quickly because of the spark of life that God gave Adam and Eve. I mean, who in the world in here could stand here and name all the animals in Latin? You know, so mankind developed, and what happened was when that sin entered into the world and the line of man hit man, and then mankind split to living for God and living for sin. We'll see that, and we'll talk about those dispensations, some of that. But from that, the knowledge of man, because of sin, changed the thinking of those sinful men and created some of these systems that we've talked about here this morning, the mathematical and the man thinking of himself as, I'm bigger than God, I'm smarter than God, I can solve this on my own. That thinking carries plumb into today and plumb into what Elon Musk is trying to do, and all these people that has all this wealth and go to other planets and do all that they're doing and save the world, and you know, and you know, and you look back at these oil spills, like what happened in the Gulf and the Valdez and all that we know. Well, those folks were hollering, it's the end of the world, the oceans are going to die. And the crazy environmental stuff started 30 years ago, and they said the oceans ought to be washing up in front of our church here. I mean, it's garbage. And the oceans are just fine. The oil went away. Where'd it go? God took care of it in His great creation and His great biology that He created for this earth. It's the earth. They don't get it. These environmentalists don't get it. God made it perfect, and it's going to exist forever because the Word says it. So they can preach just save the earth, save this, save the birds, save whatever. It's God's purview, not mine. Argue with God. Argue with God. I can get off on that with some of these people. My. But anyway, in 2 Peter, we know, we talked about that a little bit last week. We started with verse 1 and 2 in Genesis. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void and darkness. And upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, you start talking about water, there's a whole line of thinking about H2O. H2O, we look at our bodies. We know that, I don't know, some bigger spinning out percentage that we're just liquid. And we're dust. And we know that the Bible says that. You can see that when people decide that they want to get cremated, that there's some little old jar full of dirt. We're just dirt. But God in His great power picked up dirt and water and put it together and created us. And the world evolves. Without water, things die. That's God's purview. Who thought that up? Did that just happen? I mean, you can go on and on all this stuff. But anyway, from those two verses, Peter was dealing with these people in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, which we talked about. And the first thing says, in there in verse 5, it says, for they were willingly and are ignorant. For this they willingly are ignorant. They're ignorant. They don't want to accept the truth of the word. What was going on then is going on now. No difference. The sin in man's heart is desperately wicked. We are a wicked bunch. And God saved our ever-dying souls. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I'm saved from eternity in hell that God created. And then people say, oh, how could a good God put somebody in a place like that? Well, you live an ungodly life and you deny that there is a God. He's a just judge. I want God to judge me. But you know what he's going to do? He's going to look at me. He's not going to see that sinful condition I'm in. Because of Christ, I have the righteousness of Christ. Aren't you happy about that? Praise the Lord. I can jump up and down about that. Raise my hand. He's good, folks. He's good in his creation. He's good in our salvation. So these people were arguing with Peter here, for they were willing to ignorant, whereby the world that was then being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, preserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Peter was preaching the same thing in lovely words that I can say. Same thing that we've been talking about here this morning. Same thing. And these people did not want to hear it. And the folks today don't want to hear it. They would rather grab on that we come from some worm. That makes my mind that just don't calculate. Folks, preach it, teach it, believe it, stand on it. The true word of God. God created the world. Don't take anything out of those first two verses. The two words, God created. Now you put God in the equation, it's perfect. And if you think any different, I'll sit down and talk to you and pray about it with you. We can't think any different. And folks that we know, children, friends, whoever, we need to be as kind as we can be if that conversation ever happens. I have it quite often with these environmental groups. There's some people in Denver. There's a law group out there that is unbelievable. Unbelievable lawyers that believe some of this garbage. But you know what drives them? The world. That's what drives them. You pay me, I'll believe it. That's a sad truth. They're going to let that send them straight to hell. Because I know that you can go talk to one or two and say, I tell you what, would you work for us? Yeah, what do you want to do? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I'll do that. What's your fees? All with them. Our system is affected by sin. And that's the world we live in. And we all wonder why it's so bad. Why is it so bad? It was bad then when Peter was teaching. They were, some of the folks there, the Christians then, were thinking the same thing that we think now. Even so, come. We're tired of this. come on, Jesus, come back. Because he left the word with the apostles, and they told people that he was coming back. And some of them were saying, come on back, look what a mess. And they had a mess. The Roman Empire was chasing Christians and wiping out churches and flattened Jerusalem in 70 AD and on and on and on. But you know, we survived. We are a select group. God selected you and me to carry the truth to the world. And time is so short. Time marches on, folks. Time is what we burn in. We can't delay. We can't go home and say, well, tomorrow I'll do this. Oh, tomorrow I'll call them. Tomorrow I'll call my friend and say this and apologize. Better do it today. Tomorrow ain't guaranteed. Our footsteps are guided by God. I may not be able to take the next step. In a twinkling of an eye, how fast is that? Think about your life. We were just talking this morning. Think about all that's happened in your life. And now we sit here and look back at it and say, how did all that happen? It just seems like it was yesterday. Again, a truth of God that time is a vapor. That time for him to come in a twinkling of an eye could be on us. When the last person is saved, and I taught about the scroll that Christ has in his hand, and he's going to step into the clouds with that scroll, and he's going to say, come up. And then time as we know it for us in this dispensation is over. How much time do we have? I don't know. Do you know? In the creation of this great world, God did it. And I know that is a fact. I feel it in my soul. And I hope you do. I think next week we can get past this. And all this you'll see is I'm talking about a dispensation that I don't think exists. Some people think there's eight. And the first one is what I'm talking about. Is the first one the chaotic earth theory, or is the first one Adam and Eve and what went on there? So I think we can see now that I think really all that creation and Adam and Eve is kind of one deal going on there prior to the flood. We'll talk about all that in kind of some detail. So I'm going to step through the dispensations. There's quite a bit to say about Christ and God and how he dealt with mankind and how we should interact in the dispensation that we are in. And what's happened in the past, and use the things that went on in the past to help us live the life that we need to do today in the minute that we live in. I know this has been more of a lecture than anything else, but I wanted to get that chaotic earth theory rounded up a little bit so we can just park that and move on into what God is doing and what he's going to do. Okay? Thank you for listening. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your creation. We thank you for your word. And most of all, God, I thank you for your salvation. That day on the cross means so much to all of us. We thank you for that. Now, Lord, I pray for our church service today. Pray for our pastor. Give him the words to say and preach. And let the Holy Spirit drive it in the hearts of men and help it change our lives for better. Help it change somebody's life to be saved. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.